Hi, welcome to the Cairns Writes podcast, home of science fiction, fantasy, and horror author Michael Cairns. Me. If you enjoy what you hear today, you can find more at cairnswrites.com. In episode 2 of Life Without Tumblr, Scarlett discovered her mum had been captured by an evil demon, found out a little bit more about smelly homeless guy Martin, and actually, like, did some magic. Life Without Tumblr, episode 3. He hands her the book, open to the page. Simple. Read the words and think about your mum. Also, hold my hand. He held out his dirt-stained fingers, and she made a face, then rested her hand on his. He closed around it, squeezing it tight, and she had to work hard to not pull away. She read, sounding each word out carefully. Surely they just made it up as they went along. This was complete gibberish. The sage was lit, and the room filled with a nose-itching tang that made her fidget. A light came up from the floor, like the dodgy sunken spots they had in clubs. It grew stronger, until the entire room was glowing pale blue. It was getting more like a club every second. She half expected to be barged in the back by some cow with a beer and a glow stick, then she squeezed her eyes closed as it became brighter still. Step forward, Scarlet. Step through the light. His voice was different, stronger, clearer, and she moved as he told her, nervous steps until the soft carpet vanished and she heard the click of her shoes on stone. The light went, just like that, and she blinked, looked around, and yelped. They were in a valley. Sharp slopes of stone, dotted with dull, scrubby bushes, rose on both sides. She shivered. Why the bloody hell hadn't she brought a coat? The path they stood on looked like something out of a Tim Burton movie, winding and sunken, and heading into the gloom of the narrowing canyon. The sky above was the same colour as the floor, and felt just as close. She sniffed. There was a smell she couldn't place. Something like the chem labs at school, only with the vaguest hint of cheap perfume. So just like the labs, then. She turned and jumped again. His raggedy clothes were gone, replaced by dark, rich leather that fit like a glove. Her worst fears were true. He was buff, like really hot. His hair was disturbingly well cut. "Who are you?" He chuckled. "You've already asked me that. My name is Martin, but you can call me Sugarplum, blah blah, yeah. You already said that too." "Okay, what are you?" He smiled. "A better question. I help people. People in the kind of trouble your mum's in. Stuff the police can't help with." "Why?" The smile left his face as he shook his head. "Some things are best left alone." She folded her arms and stared at him. He stared right back and she blushed. "Okay, fine, fair enough. So why did you need me? I mean, couldn't you just do this yourself?" He nodded. "I could, but what would you have learned? Oh, for fat, life is growth, Scarlet, growth and change. Your mother changed not so long ago and found a new life for herself. It was one she didn't want to share with you, for fear of what it might lead to. Was she right?" He shrugged. "I don't know. From my experience, the unknown can be far more dangerous than a little knowledge, if that knowledge is taught correctly. You have power just like your mother, and you needed to be introduced to it." He smiled. "And, after all, it is your mum." She looked at the floor and back at him and nodded. "Yeah, guess so. Okay, what now?" He motioned past her down the path. She turned and sighed. It was dark, the path winding out of sight as the cliffs closed in, and the very sight of it made her shudder. Things never went well in places like this. He set off and she hurried to keep up, falling into step beside him. As the path grew narrow, he slowed, letting her take the lead. Oh joy. They wound round and through the valley, sometimes losing sight of the sky as the slopes went vertical and crowded above them. The scrub faded away, leaving nothing but bare rock. Her feet ached. Walking wasn't something you were supposed to do for any length of time, like 10 minutes max. This guy was a torturer. He'd brought her here as some sort of evil cross-country challenge, some sick plan between him and Mum to help her get fit. She was about to turn and tell him when the valley opened up, the walls replaced with a plain stretching away to the slate-grey sky. Squatting slap-bang in the middle of the space was a castle, an actual turrets, battlements, portcullis castle. "Yeah, all right, that's not bad," Martin laughed. "It's funny you should say that, because actually, it is." She looked up at him, eyebrow raised. It's rare for a demon to be quite so overt with their presence here. He must be powerful. The second eyebrow followed the first. "Sorry, confused. Demon? Powerful? Huh?" He nodded, quite calmly, as though she'd asked him about the weather. "Yes, most demons, despite their bragging as and when they get to Earth, live in holes in the ground, or maybe a little shack. There aren't many I know of that live in something like that." She put a hand on his arm. "Mostly. Where are we?" He looked at her. "You really need to ask." "Yes, I really need to ask." "Hell. Jokes?" "No." "Oh, so, like, actually hell, you know, where the devil lives and all that." He nodded again, smiling slightly. She thought about slapping him, then decided against it. He was actually quite nice, when he wasn't being completely infuriating. She thought she should probably be more surprised or scared or something about where they were, but she just couldn't summon up the energy. He waved a hand out across the plain. "It doesn't look much like the pictures, does it?" "I don't know, could do with a bit more fire, but otherwise, you know, dark, scary, seems to work to..." "Why did you bring me to hell, you crazy? You're mad, completely mad, Jesus!" He patted her shoulder, smiling sheepishly, and pointed at the book she still clutched in one hand. "Because your mum's here. If Mum ended up in hell, she deserves to stay here for being so bloody stupid." She turned away from him and stomped across the open stone. He came alongside and they headed toward the castle in silence. Only when its long shadow fell across them did she get the urge to run. This was, without doubt, the stupidest thing she'd ever done, which was an impressive claim. Martin put a hand on her shoulder, and the warmth of it gave her some small hope and kept her moving. "What's the plan?" "I can locate your mother once we're inside. I'm hoping we can slip in without the demon knowing we're here." He stepped up to the door and tried the handle. With a creak like an opening coffin, the door swung inward, pulled by an invisible hand. With one last look at the dying sky, she stepped into the castle. The darkness was broken by two lanterns, flaming torches that guttered low, casting an uneven light across the floor. She noticed, and wished she hadn't, that the floor was slightly soft and the colour of dried blood. What was it with the dodgy horror metaphors? It was dark brown, that's all it was. It was squishy, though, like wet grass. That was better, wet grass was okay. Unless it was wet with blood, of course. She shook her head, swearing quietly to herself, and rushed to keep up with Martin as he strode away down the tunnel. The darkness was relieved here and there by more torches, which did little more than chase shadows around, chasing her imagination down nasty little holes. She grabbed his hand, ignoring the look he gave her. They emerged from the tunnel into a huge hall, the walls lined with tapestries, interspersed with more flaming torches. She stared at the tapestries and blinked, looking closer. They were moving, the figures writhing and doing things. Ew, that's nasty, really nasty. She didn't want to see stuff like that. She turned her eyes to the end of the hall and broke into a run. Mum was at the end, slumped against the back of the cage, eyes closed. Scarlet was halfway there when the fog came down. The hall around her disappeared, hidden by a thick white blanket. She stopped, turned, and held her hand up in front of her. She couldn't see it. She couldn't see anything. "Martin!" Her voice was swallowed, the shout sounding like she'd barely spoken. She started walking, then stopped as she heard it, a scratching that made her wrap her arms around herself and burrow her face into them. "Martin!" Still nothing, and the sounds were getting closer, the scratching of feet on the floor. but feet was the wrong word. Claws. She broke into a run, panting as the sweat poured off her. Her foot caught something on the floor and she went down, hands outstretched. She screamed as they struck the floor, the softness giving just enough so her wrists didn't break. Then her entire body smacked down with a thud. She moaned, sitting up and rubbing her nose, and fell silent. The skittering was louder now, all around, getting closer. She screamed, arms wrapped around her, and she lashed out, flailing about with her arms and legs. "Easy, easy, it's me, it's Martin. Calm down, please." She stopped, looking at the arm wrapped around her chest. "Yeah, that was him. Okay." She took a deep breath, followed by another. "Can you hear them? What are they?" "There's nothing here. You're listening to your fears. Remember the hall. Remember the tapestries." At mention of the tapestries, she blushed and giggled. "You noticed them too, huh?" He laughed as the fog cleared. "It didn't drift away. It just went transparent." "What happened?" "Castle defences, I think." "Isn't that like boiling oil and stuff?" He shook his head. "The boiling oil thing is a myth, actually. In medieval times, oil was far too expensive to throw on people. It was normally boiling water." "Really? That's like fascinating, really." He either missed the sarcasm or chose to ignore it, waving a hand toward the cage. Mum was standing up, hands wrapped around the bars. She was shouting, a smile on her face, but Scarlett couldn't hear anything, which was both weird and oddly pleasant. It was like having a volume control for Mum. Yay! She rushed over to the cage, Martin just behind, and searched around for a door. The bars travelled from floor to ceiling, a ring of them embedded deep in the concrete. How the hell had she got in there? She waited as Martin did a closer inspection, and groaned when she saw his face. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you liked what you heard, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and come back here in a week for the next installment.